What do you get when you cross a pig and a spider?
Bacon! I don't know. What?
Bacon and legs. That's it.
It's so time for the Children's Hour radio. Broadcasting live from the studios of KUNM FM in New Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah.
Nature's surprise that can make my heart sing. I wanna be grateful. Oh, open my arms wide. I wanna be grateful. Give Mother Earth a big hug for all that she provides. Yeah. For all that she provides. Here we go again. So let's play outside. Give me a high five. I'm so happy you're my friend. And it's another day. I feel so happy inside. I keep flying high, and I know you feel the same. What will today bring? Oh, adventures and fun. Till this day is done, 'cause we make the perfect team. I wanna be grateful. Open your arms wide. I wanna be grateful. Give your friends a big hug for all that they provide. Here we go again. We're branches of a tree, that's you and me, 'cause we make a family. It's another day. We're from the same tribe, and sometimes we'll cry, but we'll always be okay. And what will today bring? All the lessons and love are right in front of us, 'cause you mean everything. I wanna be grateful. Oh, open your arms wide. I wanna be grateful. Give your family a hug for all that they provide. Yeah. For all that they provide.
Open your arms wide. I wanna be grateful. Let's all be grateful for all the things right. Let's all be grateful in the middle of every day. Let's all be grateful. Be grateful in every way.
I wanna be grateful
in the middle of every night. Let's all be grateful.
I wanna be grateful.
This is the Children's Hour right here on KUNM and childrenshour.org, and I'm Katie Stone. And man, we are so grateful for all of you who contributed to the pledge drive here on KUNM, including all of you who gave during the Children's Hour. I don't have all your names yet because we had a little technical glitch last week where I couldn't actually see the names of any donors. So if you were a donor last week on the Children's Hour and you did not get a thank you from us, we really want to thank you, and we will do that. And we want to thank you on the air by name. So you can always email Katie Stone at KUNM.org. And that's K-A-T-I-E, Stone. Well, hello to everyone in the studio with us today. Hello, everybody. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How is the whole studio crew doing today? Everybody good?
Good.
Great. Good.
Great. I think we're all fine.
A big thumbs up.
Pretty good.
Everybody's great. Everybody's great. Well, everybody's let's introduce everybody in the studio. Let's start over here. Hello.
Hello. It's Maggie.
Hello. It's Zen.
Sandy.
Oh, whoops. Let me get you up there, Sandy. Up.
It's Sandy. Good morning.
Hi, Sandy.
I can't say good morning. Hello. Oh.
You can say good morning.
Hi, it's Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, it's Sean.
Mwah! Ha, ha, ha. It is Imogen the Vampire.
Imogen the Vampire's in the studio. Yes, sir. Hello down there. Hello.
Hello. Hello, it's Evan.
Hi, Evan.
Hello, it's Amadeus.
Golly. And one more over here.
Hi, it's Elliot.
Elliot's working the board with me.
Woo!
In training. I'll leave all these buttons to you, Elliot. Well, you know, we have very exciting special guests in the studio who did not say hello. Anyone want to tell our listeners? They can't tell who's in the studio who did not say hello.
Well, they have 8 legs.
Yes. We have octopuses in the studio. hold on. Got that one. No, no. We actually don't have octopi in the studio. What? Who do we have in the studio? Anybody?
Spiders.
No. Spiders.
Not just one. Not just two.
Many.
Many. Many. And in fact, our guests actually collected spiders from their own houses this morning, seriously, and brought them up to the studio. Did you know that was a possibility in life as a job, is you can like go around the world studying spiders? And we're going to talk to people who do.
You could be called Spider-Man.
And in this case, Spider Woman. Yes.
Just making sure you didn't find the tarantula in your house, right?
No, but she's my pet.
The tarantula is her pet. That's what she said. Yes. Okay. Well,
if so, I would start questioning, like, how many tarantulas are in my house?
You know, this is all reminding me of a great book called Archaeopteryx, which was set in Albuquerque, just came out by Dan Darling. He's actually going to come on the show and do a bunch of writing exercises with kids in December, but pet tarantulas. If you have a pet tarantula, you should read this book, Archaeopteryx. If anyone has a pet tarantula, you should read this book, Archaeopteryx. Anyway, well, I am so excited to talk about spiders today because, honestly, does anyone in the studio love spiders? Can you tell me if you love spiders? I mean, I know you two love spiders because you study them, but you don't, not that you don't count, but, you know, yes. Imogen, talk about your love of spiders.
They're cool.
Why?
They can climb up walls.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you love spiders?
As a matter of fact, yes. One of the reasons is me and my brother Zen volunteer into the Naturalist Center at the Museum of Natural History and Science here in Albuquerque. And so we deal with some spiders there.
Neat. Wow.
When I was younger, I used to be like arachnophobic. But now I'm just like, yeah, I'm cool with spiders, whatever.
Isn't
as long as they're not gonna, trying to kill me.
You were too. You were arachnophobic.
Yes.
And here you are, and
now I study spiders all over the world. Yes.
Wow.
Plot twist.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
We have tons of wolfy spiders in our yard.
Yeah, I do too, and they're really, really big. Have you noticed? I can't wait to learn more about spiders. There are many species that are that live in New Mexico. Hundreds of species of spiders live in New Mexico. We're gonna find out who's venomous, who's not, what's their range, that kind of stuff. We're going to learn a lot about spiders today. What to do when you see a spider, what not to do when you see a spider.
Don't call it Jerry.
Yeah. Why not? Why shouldn't you call it Jerry?
I don't know. Maybe that's just not their name. And you're like, that's not my name. Why are you calling me Jerry? Maybe one of them is named Jerry.
Can you tell? You're listening to the Children's Hour. This is KUNM. And speaking of spiders, this is from a CD called For the Kids 3. Stick with us. Stick with us. We're going to get into some sticky situations today on the Children's Hour.
Itsy bitsy spider, go up the water spout. Down come the rain and bust the spider out. Up come the sun. itsy bitsy spider go up the spout again. And I know I got to get back home, back where I belong. Feel it coming, got to get where I belong. The itsy bitsy spider go up the water spout. Down come the rain and wash the spider out. Up come the sun, dry up all the rain. Now the itsy bitsy spider go up the spout again. Yeah, the itsy bitsy spider go up the spout again. Oh, the itsy bitsy spider go up the spout again.
That was the band OAR from a CD called For the Kids 3. It's a compilation CD and one way of thinking of spiders, and often maybe the first way that we introduce kids to spiders is the itsy bitsy. Everybody has to do their itsy bitsy. The itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sun and dried up all the rain. So the itsy bitsy spider went up the spout again. Now that's the great spider, because that's usually made with your fingers. And it doesn't actually have like little hairs and creep you out.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was a kid and someone was just like, here, let me just...
Well, we are going to introduce our guests, and we have in the studio with us Dr. Sandra Brantley. She is the Senior Collection Manager of the Arthropod Division of the Museum of Southwestern Biology right here on the campus of the University of New Mexico. And also Dr. Rachel Alfaro, and she is she was a graduate student, but now she's a research assistant with the Museum of Southwestern Biology's Arthropod Division. I take it Arthropod is spiders?
Well, that is a great word. It's quite a mouthful. Arthropods are invertebrate animals that have six legs or more. So it includes the insects, but also the centipedes, millipedes, arachnids, and crustaceans. So it's an enormous group of animals. And because we're covering more than just insects and entomology, we use the word arthropod for our division.
That's Dr. Sandra Brantley you're hearing.
It's not a fun word. Let's just say that.
It's not a fun arthropod. Try to spell it anyway. Yes. Go, Imogene, you have a question.
How are spiders different than insects?
You want to start?
Sure.
You can trade it.
Well, how many legs, if you think of an ant, how many pairs of legs do they have?
Three.
That's right. And then if you think of a spider, how many pairs of legs do they have?
Eight.
They have eight legs, so four pairs of leg total. Yes. So they have more legs than an insect. And then when you think of an ant, it's got a head, it's got another segment, which is its thorax, and then it has the abdomen, so three body segments. But a spider has two. The head and the thorax are fused together into one body segment, and then it has its big belly, the abdomen. So those are two big ways that they're different. And there's more.
There's more, and one that people are usually pretty happy to hear about is that spiders don't have wings.
Yay.
The way a lot of insects do.
So they can't fly after you.
They can't fly that way. They do actually fly another way, but we can talk about that.
Are centipedes and millipedes considered arthropods? Because after all,
yes, they are arthropods.
Lots of legs.
Yes.
They're myriapods.
So you really...
Myriapods.
Oh, you have to come in here. Say that again?
But they are myriapods.
That's Zen, who knows a lot about this stuff.
Why, thank you.
Which is the official term for lots of legs.
Those guys creep me out, too. Those centipedes. Ugh. It's like we have... It's like... Anyway, yeah, we have
me
more
too.
Questions in the studio. Yes, over here, please.
Why are people afraid of spiders?
Good question.
That's a good question.
Yeah, and that's one that I usually ask anytime I give a talk. I ask people why they are afraid of spiders. One of the reasons people tell me all the time is they don't like them because they're hairy. So maybe that is a reason why you don't like them. Can you think of some other reasons why people might not like them?
Yeah, come on up to the mic.
Because they could have venom and can bite you really hard.
Mm-hmm. Maybe because the amount of legs that they have is unnerving.
Mm-hmm. I think, that's a big one.
I think
that is a big one.
I think their eyes are kind of unnerving. Like, I know that when I go outside at night and I'm looking for, like, you know, my dog who loves to run off at night, of course, I will see glowy things in the grass.
Yeah.
And then I'm always like, oh, look, there's like a bottle cap or something. And ew. Then I get closer and closer and closer and realize, ew, I'm actually seeing from a great distance. Eyes. They have so many eyes.
They do. They generally have eight. None of them are compound. So that's another way they're different from insects.
What does that mean, compound?
Well, insects have a bunch of eye facets that are all grouped together on their heads, and the spiders don't have any of that.
They almost just like have... almost like a diamond is cut in many
in
ways.
Facets. Lots of faces. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then spiders just have eyes like our
they
eyes?
They have simple
just a
eyes.
Simple eye, simple lens.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes, just like your eyes.
So like flies? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How they have all those little eyes that mm-hmm. see
right.
all over?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The spiders don't do that. They just have those eight, well, we call them simple, meaning that they're just not like insect eyes. So one of the things that I guess I have to... I like that face, Keith.
Sorry.
One of the things that I usually have to remind people about is the spiders are not... insect wannabes. They're not some kind of weird insects. They are their own group with their own arrangement of body parts, and they're very old.
Mm-hmm. How long have spiders been creeping animals out on the rest of... No, how long have spiders been around evolutionarily?
More than 300 million years. Closer to 400 million years.
Are you saying that there were spiders with the dinosaurs?
Yes. And earlier.
And earlier. Yeah.
And earlier.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So many questions. Now hands are up all over the studio. Yeah, Mags, you.
How can you tell, like, what spiders you should avoid and which ones are like, oh, yeah, they're fine?
Well, all spiders, and this comes back to your question earlier, is like virtually all of them are venomous. Not all of them are dangerous to people. So there's about 47,000 species in the world. So you... We don't have to worry about all 47,000 here.
How many do we have to worry about here?
But in our region, that would include like Arizona, New Mexico, part of California, we have over 1,000 species. And a lot of them are quite tiny. And I can tell you, well, and you won't have to worry about all 1,000 of them ending up in your house. So there are very few that would end up in your house. But...
Evan, you have a question over here? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right in your mic, Evan.
The spiders that are red... are venom, and the spiders that are brown are venom.
But like, they're all practically brown. Like,
exactly.
Like we're
all
looking,
brown.
Wait, are you saying like they really all have venom?
Yes, they do.
Yes.
Every single species.
Yes. There's one family of spiders that don't. And they're an old lineage. They make little orb webs. And they don't use venom.
Are you talking about the orb weavers?
Not all orb weavers. These use a special type of silk. So it's a little bit different. And we only have a few here in the state. But they don't have venom.
Please, Imogene, your question. Right into the mic, please.
I heard you said that spiders are around when dinosaurs are around.
Mm-hmm.
So they're around when like cockroaches and dragonflies were too?
Yep.
Yep. Maybe even before. They're actually thinking that they used to think spiders evolved because the big insects evolved as prey, but actually we're learning that they were around even before all of those big insects were around.
And also once at my sister's school, Bosky, we found this giant spider that was black and then it had green on it, like green stripes, and it was really cool.
Cool. That sounds awesome. I would have liked to see that.
Wait, I have a question for you going back to the ancientness of dinosaurs. Do we now think that our spiders being around with dinosaurs, do we think that insects evolved out of spiders?
No.
Are they in any way in the same family?
They're not in any way. They're their own.
Are spiders related to, and we're going to go to a song here in a minute, but are spiders related to lobsters and crabs and things like that?
No,
that
not
look
so much.
Spidery?
No, more they're related to scorpions.
Ah.
If you're thinking more leggy kinds of things, think scorpions. Around here, we also have vinegaroons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those are a type of spider?
Mm-mm.
No.
They're a type of
arachnid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to come back and talk more. We have in our studio today, you're listening to the Children's Hour, we have Dr. Rachel Alfaro and Dr. Sandra Brantley. They're both from the Museum of Southwestern Biology here at the campus of the University of New Mexico, and they're in the arthropod division. And in a minute, we're going to talk about our very special guests who are just not talking on the mic. Instead, they're doing all kinds of things, like sitting very still, hoping I think we don't see them. But we're going to talk more about our special guests who are in little boxes all over the studio. You are tuned to the Children's Hour right here on your public radio station for Central and Northern New Mexico, KUNM, or maybe you're listening online at childrenshour.org or at KUNM.org. We're going to go to this. This is from NRBQ. NRBQ from a CD called You're Nice People, You Are. Spiders are nice people too, we hear from our guests in the studio, who are Dr. Rachel Alfaro and Dr. Sandra Brantley, and they're from the Museum of Southwestern Biology here on the campus of the University of New Mexico in the arthropod division. And we're talking spiders on the Children's Hour, and in part, we have lots of guests in the studio who you're not going to hear from. They are spiders. And Rachel, Dr. Alfaro, Rachel, can you come to a mic and talk about your guests that you brought into the studio who are not talking?
So I brought my pet tarantula, Ruby Rose. She's a Chilean rose-haired tarantula. And I got her about 6 years ago. She was actually a gift from a student. So funny gift, but yeah. So she's my first pet tarantula. Even though I study spiders, I never kept tarantulas as pets until I came to New Mexico.
I have lots of questions about this pet tarantula. First of all, pet tarantula. It implies you pet your tarantula. Do you?
So I actually don't. Occasionally I will take her out and hold her if I have to clean out her home, her little habitat. But if I was her, I wouldn't want to be held all the time. So she came from a pet store, and she's not native here, so I can't release her out into the wild where she would be happier.
Do we have tarantulas here?
We do.
I've touched one accidentally.
We do have tarantulas here.
You do?
Yes.
Yes. And how many species of tarantulas do we have here?
Oh,
do we know?
Are there more than one? It's still uncertain. Mm-hmm. It's hard to tell them apart. There's definitely more than one. A lot of them look very similar. But there's been a few studies where they've actually looked at their DNA and use that to determine the number of species that we have. So it's still kind of up in the air, but I would say, what, maybe 6 years? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was hiking once and climbing on a rock and reached my hand up into a little, you know, handhold, and then something went all over my hand. And
yeah,
of course, I climbed up to be like, well, who's that? Thinking it would be like a more friendly thing than this.
A tarantula. Yeah.
And I was like,
And to be honest, that's normally what they do. They're not really sort of a bite first, ask questions later species. They'd rather run from you or maybe kick you with their legs or kick some hairs to say like, hey, back off. I'm not too happy. But yeah, they don't tend to bite first, which
is nice.
But
they do bite.
They can, and they will if you really, really bug them.
So this is one of the things about spiders. They bite.
They bite.
Yes.
And they have fangs. And so this is...
Have you anybody in the studio been bitten by a spider? Anybody? Yeah. What does it look like when you've been bitten by a spider? And how do you know it was a spider bite and not a mosquito bite? Anybody? Yeah. Up to your mic. Yeah. Let's Siobhan. Yeah.
Well, I personally wasn't ever bitten by a spider, but my mom was bitten by a black widow at our house, and it took her a long time to recover. And she had these little two black—I can't remember if they're black or red marks in her toes, or not toes, her foot. And so,
is that how you know if you're bitten by a black widow? How do you know if you've been bitten by a spider?
It depends on the spider. So there's a lot of different species, like we said earlier, and so there's a lot of different kinds of venom too. And most of them are not dangerous. The venom is not dangerous to people, because after all, the spider is using its venom to hunt with. So it's using it to immobilize prey, and it uses it defensively as a second measure if it has to, because it also has to make this venom, and so it's expensive. They don't just bite things for the heck of it, because then their venom is gone, and then if a meal comes along, they don't have anything left to help them.
So when Siobhan's mom was bitten, she must have...
She probably surprised it.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, if something our size, you know, if we ran up against something as big as we are and we were the size of the spider, you know, that's probably the reaction we would have too.
I don't know if I'd bite something. I don't know if I'd bite it.
Wouldn't the, like, how much venom they put into us, wouldn't it affect us since we're so big compared to them?
Yeah.
Yes.
What's the deal with that?
They have the choice to either give you a dry bite, like some snakes can. So, like, give you no venom. They can bite you
with no venom.
Or they can give you the full amount or somewhere in between. The black widow is a dangerous venom. They have a dangerous venom. And actually, one of my grad students has been bitten by a black widow, and it's pretty painful. It affects your breathing. It affects how your muscles contract. It usually does not kill you, but it helps to have a hospital handy to help you with your breathing, because that's often where the problem comes in.
Really, you should go to the hospital if you've been bitten by a black widow right away. What can they do? Is there an anti-venom like with snakes?
It's more a matter of helping you breathe and help process the toxins until you've, you know, taken care of it yourself.
Wow.
But it is in no way, the widow is a very shy spider. So they're not looking for you, certainly. And there are a lot of them around, but you're not what they're after.
Good to know. Good to know. We're going to talk a lot more about spiders. We hope you're liking it here on the Children's Hour. It's a great week to talk about spiders, and there's so much more we want to know. We have questions about why we're seeing so many spiders right now in our homes, which I don't know about you, but I'm seeing like lots more than average in my house, and we're going to talk about that. We're talking with our friends from the Museum of Southwestern Biology's Arthropod Division, Dr. Sandra Brantley and Dr. Rachel Alfaro.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. We'll be right back.
Red hourglass, black abdomen, eats flies, 8 eyes, 8 legs.
Black widow.
On regular cobwebs, she'll lay several hundred eggs.
Black widow.
Spinning jungle gyms of spidey silk in darkened corridors.
Black widow.
I'm one of nature's most amazing insectivores. Black widow.
8 eyes, 8 legs, 8 flies. Moths and flies in silk, then finish them with fangs.
Black widow.
12 times the tensile strength of steel, the silk on which she hangs.
Black widow.
In matters of affection, I'll intimidate a mate.
Black widow. 'Cause
I'm 30 times the size of guys that ask me on a date.
Black widow.
8 eyes, 8 legs, 8 flies. Important member of any food web is definitely you know who. Spiders.
Doesn't mean we're bad.
Farmers say they're helpful.
Spiderlings say mom and dad.
They're making eco-friendly pesticides
from my venomous goo.
With her super flexi silk,
I'm teaching chemists a thing or two.
Come on, come on. Spell the rumor.
I eat insects.
Secondary consumer.
Respected and honored by the Pueblo people, keeping insect population stable. I order in every night for dinner.
Liquefy your prey.
I'm a super spinner. A human fatality from the likes of me is such a rarity.
Cause she's so cowardly.
As scared of you as you are of me. So I live a life of caution.
May we suggest relocation as an alternative to squashing? Parentally supervised relocation as an alternative to squashing.
That's Jeff and Paige, And their song Black Widow from a CD called Mighty Wolf. And I like all the information that was in there. You are tuned to the Children's Hour. You can follow our playlist at KUNM.org. But in the meantime, we're talking with two friends from the Museum of Southwestern Biology's Arthropod Division. Arthropod includes all kinds of critters, but we're focusing on spiders today. And, you know, when you have an encounter with a spider, it can be kind of creepy, right? Do you agree? Creepy? Yes? No? No? Yes? I don't know. No? No?
No, in some cases, but yes.
I remember all the spider talk, because I remember this one time I was playing on this playground with my two brothers, and I saw this black widow on the ladder, and I just booked it, because as a kid I thought that if it bit me, I would just drop dead right there.
Well, yeah, that's a really good story, because I think that's not an uncommon story here in New Mexico, but I was surprised to talk, we were talking before we were all on the mics, about where black widows live. Dr. Brantley, where do black widows live in the United States?
Well, they live everywhere in the United States.
Wait. I want my listeners in Chicago and Connecticut and California and Oregon and Colorado. They live everywhere?
They live everywhere. They live around the world.
All around the world.
The black widow is a common name that actually covers several different species. There's also a brown widow, a red widow, the red-backed spider in Australia. So it's a group of spiders. The western black widow is just really common here.
That's the one that we're familiar with. It's black and shiny and big. Well, maybe not shiny, but big. And
so just the ladies are black and shiny and big, the adult females. The males actually look very different. So sometimes that's where the widow bites come from, because people don't recognize this is actually a widow that I'm touching or bugging.
Oh, wait, you're saying that the male black widows are also venomous?
Yes, they are venomous. They're just as venomous as the females, but they're lighter brown and they have stripes on their back. They don't have the red hourglass, and so they do look different and they tend to be smaller. So that's why I brought one from the house where, as you alluded to, there are lots of black widows here in Albuquerque.
Okay. Well, that was a
But I also brought I brought another spider, which is a little falsehood. They're called cellar spiders. And they're little tiny, they look like little tiny balls with super long legs, but they actually eat black widows. So if you see a spider like this around your house, you want to leave it alone, because he's eating.
Is that this
eating.
One?
Yep, that's that little one.
It doesn't, I have to tell you, listeners, we're posting pictures to our Facebook page, which is, and you can see that at childrenshour.org without going to Facebook. But dang, this little guy, you would never predict that this could kill a black widow.
Yeah, and I actually collected it from a widow web.
He
was just
like,
hanging out there.
Yeah,
but that guy
kind of
looks
around.
Like a daddy long legs.
So that's right. They do. Their common name is daddy long legs, but they're not like the daddy long legs that we usually think of. Those actually are not spiders.
Wait.
They're arachnids. So they're related to spiders, but they're not spiders and they're not venomous.
Okay. Wow. Right. I'm learning so much.
Just to make it a little more confusing.
Yes.
I love it. Now, am I imagining that spiders are moving into my house in larger numbers right now?
No.
Not really.
It's fall.
It's cooling off at night, so they're looking for warmer spots to be.
So you can keep your house really cold and they won't want to move in. No.
You might not want to stay there either.
One of the things that's fun about my job is that when fall comes along and it does start getting cold at night, my phone lights up with people who have tons of questions about the spiders that have moved into the house, or especially our very large adult female pumpkin spider or cat face spider or western barn spider, because they make huge webs and they tend to make them kind of under your porch by the porch light, because the porch light brings in insects. And so when you were mentioning earlier, Katie, this business of like opening the door and walking into a spider web, this is the time of year when that happens.
Yeah, I heard you on Women's Focus maybe a year ago, and it never left me when you said, oh, yeah, in the morning, don't you know that sound you hear of cracking webs? Okay, you said that over a year ago. I never forgot that because I'm like, oh, my gosh, is that sound?
Yeah.
That is really the sound of cracking webs. Why are they making webs? They make them at night. Are they nocturnal?
Yes. Spiders are mostly nocturnal, and I think that goes back to one of the reasons why we don't like them, because we're not very good at night. These guys are really good at night.
When their webs dry, it can be harder than steel.
Exactly.
Let's talk about that. Evan, I'm so glad you brought that up. Spider webs are stronger than steel. Please talk more about that.
So when silk comes out of the spider, it's actually a liquid. And they stretch it out, and as they stretch it out, that's what makes it solid and have its stretching properties. And so it can be different strengths, and they call it tensile strengths, which is how strong can it be before it breaks. And with spider silk, it is stronger than steel. They're actually using it to look into making like body armor for police and soldiers because it's stronger than, Keflon, right?
Kevlar. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're also looking at it. So in some countries or in some areas of the U.S., like California, you have earthquakes. And they're looking at spider silk because it can really blow in the wind and not break to help them learn how to build buildings that can move and not break from an earthquake. So they're using a lot of interesting things about silk and putting it into engineering and designing things.
I remember reading somewhere that spiders were used in World War One, World War Two, for making parachute. Am I correct on this?
They were used more for making the crosshairs in gun sights.
Whoa!
Because the silk is so fine, is very strong, as Rachel was saying, but also very thin, and so they used it in the sights. So that it could help focus and yet wouldn't get in the way. It wouldn't be so thick that you wouldn't be able to see what you were shooting at. So they use spiders for that. Spiders, being solitary predators, are not very happy with people trying to set them up on treadmills and like roll the silk out from them, which is what we've tried that several times, of trying to get the silk out of spiders in a way that we can use it.
Yeah, I've seen it. They call it like a silking machine.
A silking
machine,
yes.
And it's like set up to like a spindle and thread, and they just keep going until the spider can't produce more silk. And they're not, that you get silk from them, but it takes a lot of spiders, and then you have to let them sort of eat something and rest for a long time because they have to make the silk. It's expensive to make.
It seems like when I see a spider make a web, I'm often wondering, how did they have all of that up inside of them to make that web? It seems almost like more material than the size of the spider itself.
So part of that is they have up to 7 different silk glands and types of silk. And inside their body, the gland will produce the silk as they need it. So they have reserves of proteins to make that silk. So it's not all stored up and wrapped up in their body. But there is a limit to it. And then with a lot of these orb weavers we see, they actually eat their web up and then rebuild it. So they get that protein back in a way.
So a web has a lot of protein?
Yes. Silk is a protein.
So we could, in theory, eat it?
Sure, but maybe not.
I don't know how well we could break it down to make any use of it.
Yeah.
But an animal that does make use of spider webs are hummingbirds, mm-hmm. which collect spider silk and use it when they make their own nests and line their nests with silk.
That is so interesting. I found hummingbird nests and wondered what that white stuff was mm-hmm. in hummingbird nests. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. They're also quite prominent in folk tales around the country and around the world, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. The name, the arachnid name, it comes from a Greek word. It comes from a woman in story named Arachne, who was a very good weaver, and people told her so. And she kind of got a swelled head about it and said, you know, man, I am one great weaver, and I'm even better than Athena, who's the goddess of weaving. And word got back to Athena, and who doesn't like to be bested by anything. So she came down and told Arachne, okay, you're a really good weaver, and just so that you can keep spinning and weaving for the rest of your life. I'm going to turn you into a spider, stick you up in a corner in buildings, and there you'll be. And people will no longer notice you. And better than that, they won't even like you when they do see you. So it's that's where we've taken the name for spider. But the story itself, of course, has to do with being overly prideful of something you do well.
They were like, Athena was all like, hey, like she turned into like an old lady and was all like, hey, you shouldn't say that you're better than a god. And then she was like, well, I am. And then she showed her true form. I was like, well, I challenge you to a weaving
contest.
That's then they weaved. But Athena like weaved something that was like offensive to the other gods. And she was like, so I'm going to turn you into a spider so you can weave your webs forever.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. I'm so glad I'm not working, you know, to compete with gods. Aren't we all lucky? Well, I have learned so much from you. There is way more to talk about with spiders. Mm-hmm. What? Where can we learn more? And what should we do when we find spiders in our house? Do we actually move them out? Do we squish them? What, especially if it's a black widow. I'd like to know your take on both, like, the non-poisonous spider. What do you do? What do you do when you see a spider in your house?
I think it's personal preference. I usually will relocate them outside. But since I became a mom, the black widows, if they're inside, I do kill them because I don't want them to keep coming inside. And one thing you can do to try to remove all the webs from outside your house, if you keep going after them with the broom, eventually they'll move on to someone else's house.
Are they territorial? Do they come back to this was something that someone told me is if you it doesn't matter if you move them outside, they're going to come back to where they were.
Well, they're persistent. If you keep at it for about a week, that's usually all it takes.
And are the baby black widows, which, you know, I've unfortunately had the experience of not moving them in time, and the babies come out and there's like 1,000 of them or something that come out.
There's 100 of them anyway.
Oh,
there's 100.
There's at least 100, yeah.
There's a million of them, actually. And, are they poisonous, too, those itty-bitty tiny things?
They can be. They are. However, they're so tiny, their fangs, they might not be able to bite you.
Oh, good.
But at that point, if they're kind of scattered around your house, you might want to spray because you're not going to get all of them.
Does that even work?
It could. But it's a personal choice, because do you really want to spray inside your house?
Because so Dr. Brantley's shaking her head like
that. Well, it depends on, because it is a personal thing. And I will have to actually here at this point give a plug to my long-suffering husband, who has lots more spiders in the house than maybe he would prefer. But that's because he's stuck living with me. But we do move the widows back out into the yard. And as Rachel was saying, if you don't have things piled up next to your house, if you don't have like a wood pile, or if you have stuff that you don't visit very often out there, you know, kind of junk that's piled up in your yard, if you move that stuff around, then the widows won't set up shop there.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have one last question. We call them black widows. We have this rumor that that's because the female kills the male and eats the male. This is what, you know, this is the urban legend about spiders. Is that true? Do the females kill their partners?
So that kind of, that comes from one of the widow relatives that Dr. Brantley mentioned, the redback spider. The female always kills the male. The male falls into her mouth, the sacrificial male. But here, more often than not, that does not happen. So it's sort of like their name doesn't necessarily mean that.
We're Mythbusters.
Yes.
Mythbusters. Right here on the Children's Hour. I so appreciate you coming into the studio this morning, bringing your critters, Dr. Rachel Alfaro and Dr. Sandra Brantley. They're from the Museum of Southwestern Biology's Arthropod division. And in fact, that's not a museum we all can just come into and hang out. You are a research museum. Mm-hmm. And but you're doing lots and lots of research. Can you just give an estimate to how many spiders you might have in your collection?
Ooh, well, I have thousands.
thousands
of specimens. And I mean, that's a big part of my job is to for either from my own research or from the research of other people, is to gather those specimens, bring them in, and preserve them so that we can continue to use them in the future. So the room that I have my spiders in, and scorpions and centipedes, also is a shared space with our parasitology division. So there's also parasitic worms in that room. And so
it
is a room
stuff.
That hardly wow. anybody wants to go into.
Yeah, no, this is like the museum of your nightmare.
Of your nightmare, exactly, and we
spiders,
love it.
But I would avoid that room like the plague.
And Amadeus and Zen, you all have spiders over at the Museum of Natural History and Science that you work with, and folks can go see those, can't they?
Indeed. And we don't usually let the public hold the spiders. However, if you're lucky, maybe you might be able to shake one of their hand.
Just what you want to do. You're tuned to the Children's Hour. Thank you both for being with us on the show this morning. We learned so much from you. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is brought to you by Katie Stone, with all of us in the kids crew.
Do you have a comment about the show or want to contact us? Just go to childrenshour.org and let us hear from you.
We've had a blast being with you on the show today and learning all about spiders. We hope that you feel better about spiders and that you're not afraid. Because, you know, you shouldn't be afraid. They're pretty wonderful. And I want to thank our guests from the UNM Museum of Southwestern Biology for helping us understand these poor, misunderstood creatures a little better.
Yeah. with a itsy bitsy spider. It went up the water spout. Down came the rain, washed the spider out. Up came the sun and dried up all the rain. And the itsy bitsy spider took the train. Bitsy spider, he made friends along the way. There were lots of things to do at every stop the train made. But when he got to missing that old water spout back home, the minuscule arachnid, it took the train. If you got a problem, if it's a gloomy day, take a hint from it, say, and don't you run away. No, no, the next time that it's raining, the next time that you're blue, you gotta keep your chin up, just like all good spiders do. Cause the sky is gonna clear up, all the sun is gonna shine. And then you and me and all our friends, we can run out and play outside along with the itsy bitsy spider. Went up the water spout, down came the rain, and washed the spider out. Sing if you know it. Up came the sun and dried up all the rain, and the itsy bitsy spider went up the spout. Up that spout again, itsy bitsy spider, that went up the water spout. And then down, down, down came the rain just to wash the spider out. Hey, up, 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 up came the sun, dried up all the rain. Oh, and the itsy bitsy, it got up the spout to the train.